This is Brian Cam, and you're listening to Clear Story. And in particular, you're listening to the second installment of responses that I've received from listeners to the prompt that I put out a few weeks ago, which is the question of how do you balance making a living with living a meaningful life? So in this episode, I'm going to replay the prompt that I gave, which is about 6 minutes long. So if you've already heard it and you want to skip past it, that's fine. And I'm still accepting responses to this prompt. So if you hear the prompt for the first time on this episode and would like to submit an answer, I would invite you to do so. That's at briancam.com/record. And that link will also be in the show notes. How do you balance the necessities of life with pursuing your life's purpose, your creative impulse, or your art? Or to put it another way, how do you balance making a living with living a meaningful life? I'm Brian Cam, and you are speaking to Clear Story. I'm hoping that you will submit your reflections on what I see to be a fundamental tension between doing what we feel we must in terms of living a meaningful life and what we have to do just to stay alive. This is something that I've been thinking about a lot in the last few years. As background, about 5 years ago, I had saved enough money to leave permanent employment. So I was working full-time in finance, and that did not leave me a lot of time to pursue my creative goals. For the past 5 years, I have been setting my own schedule, coming up with my own goals, and pursuing them, which on the one hand is living the dream. On the other hand, it's required a lot of effort, and at times it's been very tough. And that's because I'm a very social person. I need to be around people. And so even before the pandemic, I was engineering all these kind of routines. I run a book club. I run a discussion group in central London. And of course, I've hosted many inter-intellect salons, both online and offline. But during this time, if I wanted to see anyone, I pretty much had to engineer it myself, which could be quite exhausting. And at times it was lonely. I had no real external motivations of the normal kind, meaning no money, no prestige, no status, no interest for most of it. At times I did have collaborators for brief periods of the project that I was working on. That started out as a novel and has since morphed into a work of philosophy, which I'm calling Neither Nor, and which you can find out about on this podcast. I have decided in the past few months to take a break, which ironically means getting a job and going into permanent employment again. And that's just to get some kind of stability of routine and being able to see people face to face, that kind of thing. And so it looks like I'm returning to full-time employment, and I have very mixed feelings about that. So right now, I'm asking you to record at least 5 minutes, but it can be as long as you want, reflecting on this question as I shift gears and attempt to juggle my own life's work with making some kind of income. I'm wondering how you have navigated this tension. I'd love it if you could share your name, where you're from, where you're living now, and what you do, both in terms of your life's purpose as you see it, and what you do day to day. I'm very curious if these things are in tension for you or if they're not. So for example, if you're doing creative work and making a living from it, I would love to hear about that. If you are working full time but doing something creative on the side, or you've devoted your life to what you see as your life's purpose, and now you are struggling financially or otherwise to meet the demands of life. And this does not need to be some kind of grand artistic project. It could be raising a family or starting a company or doing volunteer work or spreading a message. It could be anything, just whatever you consider your purpose. And of course, you could also still be figuring that out. So maybe you just need a bit of space away from work or school or whatever your day-to-day is in order to figure out what you want to do with your life. Any of those are fine. I'm very interested in getting completely open reflection. If you don't like any of the framings that I've given, just say whatever you want. And if you wish to remain anonymous, you also don't need to say anything about where you are or anything like that. Very happy for you to say as much or as little as you like. But I do invite you to kind of open up a bit and reflect for at least a few minutes. And if you go over, it's fine. I also invite you to share this invitation, which you can find at briancam.com/record. And this will be a way for anyone you send this link to hear this message and upload audio should they wish to. So if there's anyone in your life where you're curious how they answer this question or would like to hear about the tension that they've experienced, how they've made a success of it, or how they've potentially had problems with it, you can go too far in either direction, too rigid, which I've done working in finance, or too open in some sense, which I feel I've done. I think it's been massively beneficial to the project that I'm working on, but I'm also very, very tired and lonely and sad. So I'm very excited to hear your reflections on this topic. And so if you'd like to contribute, please go to briancam.com/record. And that link is also in the show notes. And so again, here's the question. How do you balance the necessities of life with pursuing your life's purpose, your creative impulse, or your art? How do you balance making a living with living a meaningful life?
Okay, so this is take two. Unfortunately, I recorded a admittedly very rambling answer, and it was quite long, and it got completely lost. So that's the way it is. So I've had a good dry run. Take two. Hi, Brian. Hi, whoever it is that's listening to this. My name is Adam Barnett. Dr. Adam Barnett, actually, if you please. And you've asked me how I balance living a meaningful life with the necessities of life, or balancing making a living with living life's purpose. And I think the short answer is I don't. I think previously I didn't, because I had absolutely no fucking idea what my life's purpose was. And I think now, increasingly, happily, I don't, because I don't think that there should be a division. I've had a very excruciating period, but also a very expansive period of personal growth and existential angst over the last few years. And I think I've shifted from this kind of grand end goal vision of life and external signifiers of achievement of purpose. So, you know, going to the right university, becoming a doctor, becoming a more senior doctor, becoming an even more senior doctor, becoming a professor, becoming a better professor, becoming published, and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, being wealthy and having a better car than my neighbor and having the house that I want and all of this stuff. That sounds all very non-creative, but I think if you bring that into the creative sphere, you know, I'm a writer. That's how I express what is in me. And that is essential, I think, for anyone to find their means of expression and to give it voice as often and as loudly and gloriously as they can. Not necessarily loudly as in your face, whether you like it or not, but just joyously, I suppose. But, you know, when I decided to pursue my purpose of becoming a writer, I was, again, pursuing these external things. I wanted to finish my book to be published, my book to be successful, my book to be made into a film and read by millions and critically acclaimed and earn me loads of money so that I never have to worry about money again, so I could write more books and further bolster my reputation. And my life will be so wonderful when I'm able to, you know, have that house with a lake and a cabin and write by it and go travel the world and be adored and celebrated and it, you know, all of that stuff. When I actually got down to it, you know, is total bullshit. Writing, someone said writing a book is, the idea for writing a book is like having an orgasm, and the process of writing it is like dragging yourself across a bed of nails using only your tongue, which I completely agree with. It's hard work, you know, it's not fun actually. But it was incredibly meaningful just to have done it and to read back over stuff I've written and think, wow, that is really good. And so it really taught me more about where the meaning really comes from. And it comes from inside. And I think, you know, I'm sure everyone who's listening to this has figured this out ages ago, but I didn't until a few years ago, that, you know, these external things don't matter, and it's about living in alignment with what's inside you. And in order to do that, you have to know that first. And I had no fucking clue whatsoever. I didn't know, you know, often if someone asked me like what flavor of ice cream I wanted, I'd have no idea. So really, I had to know myself better. And so I've been trying to get to know myself mainly through meditation and other forms of self-exploration, and it's completely transformed my view of this question. That's my wife, who's the other thing I was going to say, so very good timing, that and having my family, you know. We're not individuals. We don't exist in isolation. And that's the mistake and the great tragedy of, you know, the atomization that's happening made possible by the modern world, you know? We don't have to grow our food. We don't have to see anyone, talk to anyone. We can just, you know, tap on a phone and food will arrive. And there's no, you know, relationship there. But relationship is everything. That's where it all happens. That's where purpose is, you know. Purpose is in the way we affect other people. And that's why art is so meaningful and why people are driven to express, because that is how you bring what's inside you out and you let other people see it and you see how it affects them. And that is one of life's great joys. But it's not just art. And I think one of the mistakes I was making was putting all my eggs in the basket of becoming a famous writer, you know? It's about expression. Everything is that. I was going to say everything is art, but that sounds way too trite. Everything is purpose, you know? And purpose is not achieved once you hit the goal. Purpose is in the journey. Purpose is every moment of your life. Is this moment in line with what's in your soul? And if not, realign it. And then do that again in the next moment, and again and again and again and again. And that is a life with purpose. You have to know what's in your soul and you have to live in alignment with it. And how you make your money and how you balance, you know, working and creating and all of that stuff is secondary, really, you know. If you're living with purpose in every moment, then how you make your money will be purposeful. And I think you'll find that you will need less as well, because I think a lot of the consumption and financial need is driven by, you know, a lack of acting purposefully, a lack of intentionality. Sort of, you know, it's a vicious cycle that we get ourselves into through sleepwalking. And if you can bring awareness and purpose into everything you do, I think, you know, it just doesn't take much to make the our soul sing, you know? And life is multifaceted. It's not about, you know, earning money and creating, you know? Yeah, okay, they are two of the things, but there's also, you know, loving your partner, your friends, your children, if you're lucky enough to have them, animals, strangers, you know, there's nature, there's noticing, there's the environment you place yourself in, there's, yes, there's spirituality, there's, I don't know, using your body as well, using your mind, and there's so many facets to life. And so to set up this dichotomy of, oh, well, I have to work to be able to create, you're missing so much, you know? And, you know, and I think, again, being like, well, I want to create, so I need to make it pay. You know, people who follow their soul and they make something that's truly amazing and all the rewards come, and that is marvelous. That is really fantastic. But it's not a given. And you can't make that happen, I don't think. You can't set out to have that happen for you, because no one might want what's in your soul. You know, you might be driven to do something that's so esoteric and inaccessible, or not at the right time, or not in the right way, or you might get unlucky and you just, you know, you might not make any money from it. And it's almost sadder, I think, to fall into the trap of trying to create something that people will like or that will make you money, in a belief that that will tick both boxes. I don't think that's the way it works, you know? I think essentially you have to bring awareness, you have to feel, you know, in everything you're doing, is this expanding me? Am I joyful here? And if the answer is no, then you either change what you're doing or change your attitude. And yeah, so that's how I balance it, you know. I don't, because purpose is all the time, and purpose is in everything, you know. And so is creativity, so is art, and the one thing I would say is need less, you know. That's freedom. If you need less, then you don't have this problem as much, you know. Maybe you don't need the extra bedroom. Maybe you don't need the extra skiing holiday, or whatever it is. You know, okay, if it brings you joy, fucking go for it. But a lot of the time, I don't think it does. So, yeah. I balance making a living with living life's purpose by trying to... And by the way, just in case I'm sounding like I'm some sort of, you know, perfect, enlightened person, I'm absolutely terrible at this a lot of the time, you know, and I make all of these mistakes. And so I can't pretend that but I know at least now the direction that I'm traveling in. And, you know, never get there perfectly, but it's just about improving. And that's the purpose. The purpose of life is to live with purpose as much as you can. And purpose means living according to what's in you. Being honest about that. Clear-sighted recognition of what is inside you and living that every moment you can. whether that's making a living or creating. So thanks very much. This was fun.
How do you balance making a living with living a meaningful life?
Hello, this is Isabella Granick, and I'm calling from Toronto and trying to answer the question about how to balance making a living with living a creative life or a life with purpose. And I find this question really, really hard because I don't think that I've ever had anything close to balance. And I think that the honest answer is that I've spent most of my life making a living and trying to eke out, I suppose, moments of creative connection with other people that felt at least close to this sort of sense of this divine creative spirit. I've never been able to pursue long enough any kind of real creative practice. Not because, you know, I was enslaved to a job or anything like that. It was more because I learned early on that I was not, quote unquote, talented. And so the dancing I did, the singing I did, the poetry writing that I did, the hundreds and hundreds of pages of fiction, short stories, and so on that I wrote and presented to my parents in my early teen years on to like up to adulthood, like 18, 19, were met with a complete Eastern European pragmatic disdain. And so I learned very quickly that that's not anything that I could really pursue with any kind of fervent practice. And also learned that without that practice, I would continue to suck. So I let go of most of those creative pursuits very early on and got to the business of making a living. And the way that I think I have at least been able to incorporate some sense of creativity or that kind of spark that I still feel is so deeply important to me is to be around people that were creative. So I had musicians around me. I made sure that my apartments, as small or as big as they got, were always open to people who could play guitars and keyboards and drums and so on. And I had poetry readings at my place always, and or as often as possible. And I went out dancing, and that was the way that I balanced a sense of a sort of desperate need for creative spirit around me and the necessity of making a living. I basically spent most of my time making that living and tried to squeeze in being at least around the creative spirit in other people so that I could feel a part of that spirit to some degree. And it's just recently that I've realized how incredibly important being a part of creating itself is to me. And so for me, that means being no longer just around people who are being creative and beautiful and wonderful in their gifts, but also participating in trying to make things with people. And I am trying to make up for lost time by not only supporting others. Actually, you know, that I'm in a huge transition period in this, and I think that what I'm struggling to find is not a balance between making a living and pursuing creative purpose, but trying to live in a way that allows me to be a part of either a collective, or whether it's like an official collective, or just being around enough people that are making things for the sake of doing it because they have to and they need to put it out in the world. And I just want to be a part of that energy. And I think my own creative contribution is to link other sort of sparks together to create something bigger, and just to be a part, just to be a small part of the kindling that creates a contribution into the world, something novel, something important, something meaningful to other people. And so that's where I land right now. And it's a very different place than I landed for most of my sort of life that felt quite pragmatic. And I'm hoping to do something less pragmatic, but more, I don't know, magical maybe.
How do you balance making a living with living a meaningful life?
Hi, Brian. The way I weave creativity into my normal everyday life is to schedule in regular deep work sessions. So as an example, right now through one of my entrepreneurial projects, Solve Earth, we are building a Udemy course, and we schedule with my co-founder, we schedule 2 hours every Wednesday to build that Udemy course. And in those sessions are highly effective because we only have 2 hours, so we need to get as much done as possible. And 2 hours is a really good time scale to go deep into creativity, to create new things without lots of external distractions. I find that one of the biggest impediments to creativity is not having enough quality immersion and focus time. So by carving out these dedicated deep work slots, I've found personally that's the most effective way to weave creativity into my regular work responsibilities.
How do you balance making a living with living a meaningful life?
Hey, Brian. My name is Catherine. I am a designer, researcher, writer, journalist, and more in Austin, Texas. And I love this question. I mean, this is the question, right, for any creative person, probably throughout all of history. And I really feel like nobody has cracked it, at least not for very long in their lives. Maybe people have reached brief moments of nirvana, but how do we balance our creative compulsions with the other necessities of life? The first thing this question made me think of is I have a deep existential fear that I would love to hear of others fear as well. And that is just that if we don't use our creativity, it'll all go away. If I don't really use my creativity, then I will die wasted. All of those gifts for nothing. Accordingly, I have lived my entire life like I'm running out of time. Now, if you poke too much at that fear, you'll get all sorts of interesting responses back, and that would be a podcast-length answer. So I'm just gonna lead with that, that I'm constantly deeply, deeply afraid of not flexing my creative muscles. It also feels the best I fucking love being creatively expressive. It's the best thing in the world, and finding other people to do it with is truly the best thing in the world. So having to tend to the necessities of life always feels like a very frustrating and annoying constraint. And that, I do think, is the highest order constraint on why we can't do creative things all of the time, is our bodies need to survive, apparently. But when I think about these constraints, I think I actually first interpreted this question as financial, and I think that's often where people's mind goes. But my mind actually goes first to time. I am a highly creative person, a jack of all trades, and master of several, actually. And in my ideal world, if all of my time was my own, okay, we still have 24 hours in a day, 7 days a week, but I could do whatever I want with my time all the time. I would be playing in a chamber orchestra. I would be in a bluegrass folk band. I would be singing in a bluegrass folk band. I would be writing songs, something I've never done because I'm afraid. I would be singing in choirs. I'd be singing in, you know, small, what are those, the Gregorian chants and kind of canticle singing. I'd be singing in small ensembles like that. I would be performing in musicals. I'd be performing in plays. I would be writing plays and directing them. I would be writing novels. I'd be writing memoir and poems and creative writing prompts. I would be hosting events. I'd be hosting open mic nights, salons, workshops, design thinking things. And this is not all hypothetical. These are all things I have done. I'd be building community networks around all kinds of different things. These are all things I've done, sometimes for years, and all of them quite proficiently. And so part of the frustration of a creative life is not being able to live all of your different creative lives at the same time, and feeling that there has to be a season for some things and not for others. And this is quite frustrating. But you may have noticed also that that's still an enormous amount of time. Okay, you can trim this part out. I just got a call and it was confusing, but I'm back. You may have noticed that I still wouldn't be able to fit these things in 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, because schedules, you know, schedules, getting from place to place. So one thing I've learned with time, I'm not very good at this yet, but I really appreciate learning from others, is trying to stack things as much as possible, trying to combine these different things so I don't feel quite as creatively strung out in different directions. So, for example, if I want to be both singing in a choir and in a play, could I be in a musical? Would that scratch both itches? If I wanted to write poetry and play music, could I actually finally frickin' try writing songs? And could that, you know, combine the two in one? So I started trying to look for those things more often. But more broadly in the scale of life as well, it's how can I make sure the things I'm working on are the things that I keep coming back to, the big questions that I keep asking, that every new thing I'm starting in some way connects to those questions. And the people that I'm doing it with start being able to, increasingly I'm looking for people that can work with me on all of those fronts. And so I know I just talked about a lot of different performing arts, but I'm also, I love interviewing. I love hosting. I love telling stories. I love uncovering stories. I love building platforms for people to tell their own stories. And so that's where a lot of my creative work has been happening with others recently, and trying to find people who can be both really wonderful friends and really wonderful collaborators is kind of the attention of my life's work at this point. And I think that's just because you get more bang for your buck when you're able to combine things that way. Everything feels more holistically integrated and balanced, but you also actually can do more things when you're working across those vectors in that way. Obviously, money is a constraint. I shouldn't say obviously. For me, I don't have wealth, and I am in a position like billions of other people in the world where if I want money to survive, which we all need, then I have to work. I have to give my time for money. And so money is only a constraint in that we need it to survive. And for me, it requires time. And so I think I have lucked into a really wonderful situation right now where I am working for a company that I very much respect, and it's work that I find really fulfilling, but it's also, I'm quite proficient at it,
and I can do it very quickly, and I have a high degree of trust and autonomy in the work that I do. And so that actually takes care of my financial needs and keeps me free to be creatively expansive. I don't know how that happened. I mean, I do in the sense that I can say, oh, well, I switched careers and I trained for this and I trained for that and I interviewed for this. You know, like, I earned it in that way, but it's also, it's totally fucking luck and good timing and happenstance. I mean, even at the job I'm at, my particular role has way less kind of oversight than other roles. And my particular position has not had a direct manager for almost my entire time there, which is totally not intended. So it is a fluke. It's not the setup that many people have. And that also means I don't know how to keep it for myself, and I don't know how to advise others. And that also feels very strange, because part of the work of this balancing. Okay, thoughts going in too many directions. I'm going to finish that thought, which is right now I have quote unquote solved the money problem, in that I am taking in more money than I need, and I'm quite happy with just covering my needs. And then that means I have excess time to think about other things. So something that I do think about with money is that there is a kind of freedom that develops when we can understand what we need to feel okay, and then commit to not really living beyond that. Once you start investing in things, I don't own a house. I think I would like to buy one, but I also have been hesitant to do that too quickly, because that's a huge financial commitment, and I don't want to be locked into a 9-to-5 job where I have to work my ass off for the next 10 years. I just don't want to do it. Now, that might be financially short-sighted. We could have that conversation. But in the moment, my ability to be very flexible and responsible to my creative needs and opportunities feels much more important than my ability to, I don't know, maybe sell my house for a few more dollars in 10 years, if we're lucky and the housing market doesn't crash. So, you know, but where was I going with this? I think money, oh, so this does get to what I was talking about, which is we all have this question of how do we find balance? And I think there is a way in which money eases this question for some people, and it remains a huge constraint for other people. And I think that's where the idea of patronage comes in. I've been doing a lot of thinking about this and a lot of research into this in the last year around different economic models. And one of the pains of capitalism, among many, is that we just have so much more to give each other and the world in beautiful ways than we possibly have time for if we have to give all of our time to work, because work is what makes us money and money is how we survive. And if there's just other economic models that don't require money or don't require us to make money, then hopefully, I mean, creativity can flourish much more, right? And so I think I've been, in the absence of, you know, other viable society-wide economic models in the moment, I have been working with some people who are trying to redesign that at higher levels of philanthropy and whatnot. But I've also just been trying to personally model that for myself. I am in a position where I have been able to lean into some of my creative callings and dreams because of money I've secured from the help of other people. And that has happened at a few different points in my life. And it's life-changing. It's life-changing to be able to work on a project that is fully funded because someone was able to say, hey, here's this project and they're going to love what you do. Please apply. It's also life-changing to have people show up in times of need and crisis and really, like, provide you some financial things to get you through. And that's a thing that I very much want to pay forward. And so I started a practice in the last year or two of trying to provide a little bit of that easement for friends who are doing creative work, who I want to give a little bit of financial underpinning to, either for a short term, I want to make this pivot or I want to pursue this project, or an ongoing, I'm producing this work on a regular basis, Patreon kind of thing. And that also feels really good, because the challenge of, it just feels really good. I have had this question of balance and necessity eased for me I am easing it for other people. And I do think that is like, we do need each other to hit this balance, because none of us can answer it on our own. And I don't know that we can really satisfactorily answer it together, but I think we can get a lot closer thinking about it collectively than we can individually. But what's interesting is another constraint. So at the beginning, I was talking about the highest constraint being physical necessity, the necessities of life, like just physical survival. I didn't talk about relational necessities, but that's another big one. But honestly, one aspect of the relational necessity is like, okay, let's think about a world where you didn't have to sleep, you didn't have to eat, you didn't need a roof over your head. Forget about the idea of working. You're just free to be creative. Would we still do it? And I suspect we would not do it fully in a way that feels good unless we had others to witness it and engage with it. And so the presence of other people who understand what you're doing, care about what you're doing, support what you're doing, even just want to kind of like clap, just want to clap for you. I think you need all kinds in creative work. And I have a really conflicted relationship with this one. Because I absolutely have felt the presence of all of those kinds of support. And I feel really lucky and grateful to be in a season where it feels like there's some really good supports and really strong friendships in that way right now. But not always, and not from everyone you hope for. And in the past, I've had a lot of rage over building incredibly dope things with incredibly dope people and not getting credited for it, or not really being remembered that I was part of it, or the project wasn't really remembered, or the people who would remember it are all gone now, or people remember it and credit me for it, but it kind of doesn't matter. And there's just, that's just the pain of creative life over time as well. When, you know, I think we all seek to make beautiful things that feel good in our hearts and souls, and also have those beautiful things be responded to by others. And then there's the question of, what if they were responded to by others and then everyone else goes on their way? And like, what does that mean? And so I think this idea of like being witnessed by and engaged with from others over time is a really interesting question as well. What are these kind of long lasting creative relationships over time? And I think at heart, like, I don't know, what we just want as humans is like, do other people want to play with us? Like, friendship is, are we good play buddies? At least to me. And so I think, to my earlier point about stacking, I find that with the friends I'm seeking out more and more are people that I think I can build cool things with. And that doesn't have to be anything big and grandiose. It doesn't even have to be mutually working on the same project. It can be, hey, can I come to you for really, really important creative strategic advice in this moment? And then we've like done some creative problem solving together. Or it could be, hey, can I just come to you because I know you have beautiful music recommendations, or I can give you beautiful music recommendations, or whatever it is, you know? But I think when there's that, balance feels really good. And so that's one of the simplest answers to the balance is, in my experience, is, do I have good play buddies working on things I care about? I think ultimately that's kind of what this gets to, is like just giving the experience of giving to others creatively and getting creatively from others is kind of the undercurrent of balance to me. I don't know, as I'm talking about this, it just makes me think that, like, I don't know, maybe suffering is trying to force or wrangle a balance, right? So like, I think that's such an interesting word, because it implies like, don't teeter too far this way, don't teeter too far this way. But you're gonna fucking teeter. That's okay, that's part of life. I'm just picturing like learning the ebbs and flows, the tides of creativity instead. Like your creative spirit, your creative well, your creative ability, your creative cohort, all of those things ebb and flow, and the tides come in and the tides go out. And sometimes we're in high creative deluge, and like, you kind of do just have to throw out the necessities and ride it. And then there's other times it's a total drought, and like, you kind of do just, or the necessities of life totally take over and you're like, wow, I am infirm. I have to be in my bed, or I have to, you know, just really drop creative aspirations for a moment and really take care of myself. And those things happen, and they just will. And I am shit at being patient through them. But I think as I've gained more of a perspective of life actually being long, as I've dared to start hoping that, like, what if I actually do live till I'm 80 or 90? Ugh, what? I always assumed I'd be dead before, like, high school. Like, I just, I don't know. Well, it's also something to unpack. But, like, let's say you're actually going to live until you're 80 or 90. Let's go with 90. Then what does life look like? And can you embrace the ins and outs of it, knowing that it's always going to come back in again? And that sounds very zen, and I'm quite shit at doing it, but I do think there's actually a degree of wisdom in being able to understand that the scales are always going to feel like they're tipping too far in one way or another. Perfect balance is rarely felt, and when it's felt, it feels like the best fucking thing in the world. But like, it'll come again, you know? That's it. Those are my incoherent thoughts. I have many, many more, but this was already too long, so I'll leave it there. But much love from here.
So I would like to thank Adam, Isabella, Gareth, and Catherine for submitting their thoughtful responses. If you would like to contribute a response yourself, please go to briancam.com/record, and that will show you how to submit audio for the show. I would also like to take this opportunity to thank my new Patreon supporter, Robert, for his generous support. And if you would like to help me in this question of trying to make a living, please consider supporting my work on Patreon. That's at patreon.com/briancam. And that link also will be in the show notes. I look forward to hearing from you.